Please find Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 14, and we're looking tonight at verses 19 through 28. Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 28, and the message tonight has the title, Serious Christianity. Now, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that there is no such thing as frivolous Christianity. If you make Christianity frivolous, you don't have Christianity anymore. And I have to say this evening with sadness in my heart that it seems like that we're living in a day when pastors and church members are dead set on making Christianity something that is light, something that's superficial, something that's entertaining, something that makes them feel good, and they do not dare ask themselves this question. And that is, if we make Christianity something light and superficial, something entertaining, something that just merely makes us feel good, do we still have Christianity? And I say to you, my friends, that Christianity, by its very nature, is serious. And I think that you and I, because Christianity is by its nature serious, I think that you and I should be serious about Christianity. I'm interested in what the Apostle Paul says over in 1 Timothy to his son in the ministry, to whom he was writing, Timothy. You remember in that passage, he gives Timothy various qualifications for being a minister. And I have the New King James Version here. I can tell you how the Old King James translates this word to which I'm referring. Paul says that it's necessary to be sober, or we might say sober-minded. Now, if a preacher today wants to draw a crowd, if he wants to be popular, he can't be very sober. He's got to be kind of like an entertainer. He's got to be something of a comedian. It seems as if the primary qualification for being a preacher these days is to be funny. People want the man in the pulpit to be funny. But Paul says, and the word sober may be translated grave, now that I think about it in the King James Version, may be translated grave. And Paul says that preachers are to be grave. Grave. Now, that I tell you, If a man was candidating at a church and he were to stand on the day that he was preaching what we call a trial sermon, and if he were to dare say, I just want you folks to know that if I come here as your pastor, I'm going to be grave. Why, the ticker would start rolling, you know, and I mean the ticker on the no votes, and he wouldn't get called to that church, because people don't want their pastors to be grave. They don't want them to be sober, even though the Apostle Paul says that this is one of the essential qualifications of being a pastor. Now, what does that word grave mean? What does that word sober mean? Doesn't mean that the pastor should never smile. It doesn't mean that the pastor should not have a happy disposition. It doesn't mean that the pastor should just go around and be miserable all the time. What it means is this. Listen, the pastor should be serious about serious things. The pastor should be serious about serious things. Is Christianity serious? I should say it is. It deals with the reality of human sin. It deals with the certainty of divine judgment. It deals with the absolute necessity of repentance. And I tell you, my friends, these are all serious things. And there's no way that any preacher can stand in a pulpit and convince people that they're sinners and that they are headed for judgment and that they must repent and turn to Christ if he presents those truths in a lighthearted and superficial way. He needs to be serious about serious things. Now, we have a passage here before us tonight in which we find Luke continuing to describe the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. And as I went over this passage, it was impressed upon me how very serious Paul and Barnabas were about their work. And I don't apologize tonight for calling you to be serious about your Christianity and to call you to be serious about what we're trying to accomplish here in the ministry of Parkview Church. And so let's look at this passage with that as our introduction. And I want to begin reading with verse 19, Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, that is to Lystra, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Now, there are so many things in those few verses of Scripture, and we could spend a great deal of time tonight talking about all the various details that emerge from this passage of Scripture, but this is the theme that I have chosen to put before us tonight, and the theme that I ask you to give careful attention to carefully consider, and that is the theme of serious Christianity. Now, I simply want to ask two questions tonight, and those two questions will form the major points of the message. And I want to, of course, answer from this passage each of those two questions. The first question that I would raise is this: how serious were Paul and Barnabas about their Christianity? Now, you remember the background of this passage. Paul and Barnabas have been sent out from the church there in Antioch, and they're on what we know as the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. There are two more missionary journeys yet to come, and we'll get to those in due time as we continue looking at this book of Acts. And so we're picking up the story here. They're engaged in this first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas are. And here's the question that I have raised: how serious were they about their Christianity? And the answer that I would give to that, brothers and sisters in Christ, is this. They were serious enough. Now listen, I'm not usually this clever in constructing the points of my sermon, and I want you to be impressed with this, okay? I'm trying to answer the question, how serious were Paul and Barnabas about their Christianity? And my answer is this. They were serious enough to stay by the stuff even when the going got tough. Now, isn't that pretty? I hope that you're impressed. Aren't you glad you came tonight? You won't hear a prettier point than that anywhere in anybody's sermon. And here it is. They were serious enough to stay by the stuff even when the going got tough. Now listen, the going got tough in Lystra, didn't it? Look there at your 19th and 20th verses. Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there to Lystra. This is where this passage begins, in Lystra. And we're told that Jews followed Paul from Antioch and from Iconium to Lystra, and they stirred up the multitudes. I have the New King James Version here. It says, having persuaded the multitudes. You know, don't you, what's going on here? Paul and Barnabas are preaching Christ wherever we find them here on this first missionary journey. They're preaching Christ. And this is what stirred the opposition of these Jews. Paul and Barnabas were preaching that Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, that Christ is what the word Christ means. He's the Messiah. He's the one for whom the Jews have been looking all of these many centuries. And you know that the Jews rejected, by and large, they rejected the Lord Jesus when he came. You remember John chapter 1, he came to his own and his own received him not. And so here Paul and Barnabas are preaching this Jesus, and they're saying he's our Messiah. And these Jews weren't content just to reject Jesus. No, they hated the preaching of Jesus with an intense hatred, even to the point that now they follow Paul and Barnabas down here to Lystra and they stir up the multitudes against them. Isn't it? Don't you see this the same thing at work here in the United States of America? Have you noticed this? Here we are preaching Christ, as Paul and Barnabas did back centuries ago. And we understand that many people are not going to believe our message. It's always been that way, hasn't it? Our message has always been rejected by many. The Lord Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 7, there are two roads. There are two gates and two roads. And one gate is narrow and the way is narrow. And one gate is wide and the way is wide or broad. And how many are traveling the way that leads to heaven, the way of Christ? Very few, he says. Well, you see that tonight, don't you, right here in Jackson? How many are traveling that broad road that leads to destruction? Why, Jesus says there are many that go in at that gate. Most people reject our message. But here's the point I'm making. Have you noticed that they're not just content to reject the message? They're not just content to say, I don't believe that business about Jesus. No, they have to heap scorn and contempt and disdain upon those of us who hold the message. They not only disagree with the message, they hate us for believing the message. Have you noticed that in our society? How Christians are hated? Well, my friends, it's going to get worse. So just brace yourself. It's not going to improve anytime in the near future. How we need to be praying for God to move in such a mighty way that the hearts and minds of people will be changed and there'll be a receptivity and openness to the gospel of Jesus Christ that will cause this intense hatred to melt away. Are you concerned about the direction that our society is going? Go like this. Are you concerned enough to pray? Have you started praying yet? Well, we're not as concerned as we ought to be if we haven't started praying yet. It's easier to get church people to do anything than it is to get them to pray. And we'll go around and talk about, oh dear, how tough the times are, how terrible the times are. But are we praying? Are we praying? We need to be praying that God will change the minds and the hearts of people. Because right now, we see all kinds of evidence that people not only reject the message, but they actually hate the message, and they hate Christ, and they hate us for believing in Jesus Christ. We were looking this morning at the parable of the Good Samaritan, and I told Sylvia I ran out of time before I ran out of sermon. One of the things I didn't get to talk about in that parable of the Good Samaritan is that I said Christ is our Good Samaritan. And you remember how the Jews hated the Samaritans? We talked about that. We have a natural hatred for Christ. We're the enemies of God, Paul says, by nature. And yet, here, my friends, is part of the beauty of that story. Christ, our good Samaritan, came to us in our sin. He came to us in our need, even though we hated him. Well, people still hate Christ, don't they? And so this passage begins on a note that has tremendous application. It has tremendous relevance for us. Paul and Barnabas are going along here. They're preaching Christ. And the Jews there in Antioch and there in Iconium, they're not content to say, ah, that Paul and that Barnabas. What idiots they are to believe in that stupidity about Jesus being the Messiah. Let them go. And people will figure out that they're stupid and they'll reject the message. No, they're not able to say, let Paul and Barnabas just go down the path and do their thing, and people will reject their message, and it won't be long before all of this will be over. No, they pursue them. They go down there to Lystra. They go first to Iconium and then to Lystra, and they stir up people. They hate Paul and Barnabas for preaching Christ, and they hate Paul and Barnabas because they hate Christ. And you see this same thing at work today. I tell you, my friends, that you'd get in a lot of trouble if you were to express for any group in America the hatred that is expressed toward Christianity. And so here's how the passage begins. Paul and Barnabas are preaching Christ, and these Jews come along and they stir up the multitudes, and they're so successful there in Lystra. I'm talking about these Jews now who followed along. They're so successful there in Lystra that these multitudes actually drag Paul out and stone him. And some of you may be saying, well, I thought when people were stoned, they died. But not always. And Paul doesn't die here. I think God probably had something to do with that, don't you? But they left him for dead. And we read that they dragged him out of the city and supposing him to be dead. But verse 20 says, he rose up and went in to the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now here's the point that I'm so anxious to get to. I'm talking about how serious Paul and Barnabas were about their Christianity. And now with all that we have looked at, all that we've considered, we can see just how very serious they were. Look at verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city, Now, you remember how I answered the question, how serious were Paul and Barnabas about their Christianity? I said they stayed by the stuff when the going got rough. The going got rough in Lystra, didn't it? Paul stoned. He's lying out there. They're assuming he's dead. But by the good grace and sovereignty of God, he's not dead. He rises up and goes back into the city. Now, what might you and I, if we had been in Paul's sandals, what might we have said to Barnabas? Oh, I tell you, this is getting now to the point where it kind of searches us. It kind of binds us. I'm not as great a Christian as I'd like to be. I'm afraid of myself. I doubt sometimes just how committed I am to the things of God. I'm like a lot of Baptists today. A lot of Baptists can talk a good fight when they're at church. Oh my. You listen to them discussing Sunday school, you get the impression, boy, these people, now they're really committed to Christ. You follow them out the door, you might find that they're not quite so committed to Christ after all. A lot of that going around. A lot of people professing to be serious about their Christianity, and they're not serious at all. Here's the thing I think that I would have found very challenging. Suppose that I had been stoned for preaching the gospel. Suppose you had been stoned for preaching the gospel. I think I might have been inclined to say to Barnabas, I think you might have been inclined to say to Barnabas, you know, this gospel business is causing a lot of trouble. I mean, we're making a lot of people mad with this gospel business. We need to find some kind of message that's not going to make people so angry. Can you imagine? Here's Paul. He's all beat up and bruised and bloody. And can you imagine Paul saying, hey, I've had enough of this gospel business. Let's conduct a survey. Let's see what people want to hear. And then let's make our message adapt. Let's adapt our message to that. Let's make our message more acceptable. I think many of us. Well, the fact of the matter is there are a lot of preachers doing that today and they haven't even been stoned. If it were a matter of being stoned for preaching the gospel, most preachers today wouldn't get hit with a pebble because they don't preach any gospel. But here's Paul. You have the picture now. He's just been stoned in Lystra for preaching the gospel. And don't you love verse 21? Now they're in Derbe. They're not in Lystra anymore. Because it says in verse 20, the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And look at verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city, this Paul, he gets stoned in Lystra for preaching the gospel. And so what does he do when he goes to Derbe? He preaches the gospel. Don't you admire a man like that? Don't you admire a man like that? Can you find it in your heart to pray and ask God to raise up some men like that today? Some men who will stay by the stuff. The stuff is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they'll stay by the stuff. They'll go on believing God. Go on loving God. Go on serving God. Go on obeying God. No matter what the cost. Don't you wish we could see a multitude of men and women like that? You couldn't get the best of this man, Paul. We've been studying the book of Philippians some on Wednesday evenings. That's a commercial. Those of you who aren't here, come and join us. You'll be blessed as we study the Word of God together. And here's this Paul. I say to him, you can't get the best of it. You say, we'll kill him. And Paul says, oh boy, I'll get to go be with the Lord. And you say, okay, we won't kill him then. That makes him too happy. We'll let him live. And he says, oh boy, I get to preach the gospel. How do you get ahead of a guy like that? You kill him and he goes to heaven. You let him live and he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ and sends other people to heaven. You can't get ahead of him. Oh, would to God that that spirit that Paul had would be found in us more and more. I hope and pray that God is putting a special burden on our hearts here at Parkview because of our efforts in recent months to reach Union students. I'm glad to see Andrew and Rebecca here. How we love Rebecca and how we're glad to see Union students here in our services now on a frequent basis. I trust that through our efforts to reach Union students, God is putting a burden on our hearts. A burden is something like this. Oh God, would you raise up from Union University an army of young men and young women who will love Jesus Christ more than life itself and who will be so passionate for the gospel that you won't be able to beat the gospel out of them. You can beat them, but you can't beat the gospel out of them. Now that was Paul. You could beat him. They did at Lystra. They couldn't beat the gospel out of him. Verse 21. He preached the gospel in Derbe. He preached the gospel in Derbe. Would you say this is serious? Getting stoned, that's pretty serious, isn't it? But Paul was just as serious about the gospel as the opponents of the gospel were serious about getting rid of him. No, Paul was more serious about the gospel than they were serious about getting rid of him. And so he goes down to Derbe. And he does not say to Barnabas, listen, we got the wrong message here. We got to come up with something different. These people, we're making them mad. That's what we're doing today. That's how we're running our churches today. Churches are popping up all over the place. There are almost more churches in Jackson than there are people. And here's how churches start today. Let's find out what people want, and then let's give them what they want. And here's the reasoning. Here's the goal. We want to have a large church. And we don't. In order to have a large church, you've got to get people to come. And in order to get people to come, you can't offend them. And so we've got to find out what they like, and we have got to just talk about things they like, and we've got to find out what they don't like, and we have got to exclude the things that they don't like, and we'll build a large church. That wasn't Paul. Paul did not say to Barnabas, "Barnabas, we're going to have to do a market study. We're going to have to change our message. It's going to have to be something more marketable." No. Paul comes back to Barnabas, and he says, "Man, that was tough, getting stoned. I hurt all over. You okay?" "Yeah. Let's go to Derbe." "What are we going to do there, Paul?" "We're going to preach the gospel in Derbe, just as we did in Lystra." Listen. We may be facing such tough times right here in the United States of America. I would not have thought when I started preaching back many years ago that I would ever stand in a pulpit and be saying what I'm saying to you right now. We may be facing such tough times in America that the church, that the churches and the pastors will not be vexing themselves in the future over the very issue that they have vexed themselves over so much in the past. All down through the years of my ministry, pastors and churches have fretted over nominal Christians. "Well, we've got these people on the church book. We can't get them to do anything. What are we going to do with them?" There may come a day in America where it's going to be so costly to be a Christian that no one will dare call himself a Christian except somebody who is a Christian, somebody who has sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul and Barnabas were serious enough about their Christianity that they stayed by the stuff, even when the going got tough. And here's the challenge to us. Are we like that? Will we stay by the stuff when the going gets tough? Will we still love the gospel? Will we still believe the gospel? Will we still share the gospel? Do we here at Parkview have enough courage to say, even if our church shrinks up to nothing and dies, we're going to do it preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or are we going to say, you know, in order to be a big church, we're going to have to get rid of this business of the gospel, and we're going to have to preach stuff people want to hear? The issue is right here before us, isn't it? And may God help us to have the spirit of Paul and Barnabas, who essentially said, it's going to be the gospel no matter what the cost. It's going to be the gospel. Now, I just closed by, I said I had two questions, left myself just a minute here to deal with the second question. Why do you suppose Paul and Barnabas were so serious about the gospel? Why? Well, I've got a suggestion. I think that they were serious about the gospel because they believed the gospel to be the truth of God. They believed that they were preaching in these cities to eternity bound people. And they believed that these people were going to meet God out there in eternity. And they believed that these people could not stand acceptably in the presence of God if they were in their sins. But thank God they also believed that there was a provision for their sins. But they believed that people were headed for eternity. They believed that people were headed for judgment. They believed that Jesus Christ was the provision for sinners. And so they preached. They preached. They preached. Jesus Christ, the Savior. The Savior for sinners. The trouble in most of our pulpits today is we've got too many unbelieving believers in our pulpits. Oh, they say, "Yes, I believe in the Bible. I believe in the gospel." You couldn't get them to mention sin if you beat them over the head with a stick. They wouldn't do it. You can't get them to use the word hell in the pulpit today. Jesus used it. But they won't use it. They're scared to death to talk about sin and hell. They say they believe the Bible,
But our pulpits are filled with unbelieving believers. They don't really believe the Bible, do they? Because if they really believed the Bible, they'd have to talk about sin. They'd have to talk about judgment. They'd have to talk about hell. And we not only have unbelieving believers in our pulpits, we've got unbelieving believers in our pews. A lot of people in churches today, they got their name on the church book. They begin to get nervous and tense and anxious when the pastor starts talking about things that I've been talking about in the last few minutes. And they say, well, now, I wish the pastor wouldn't talk like that. He's going to run people off. Listen, Paul and Barnabas knew that they were dealing with an eternity-bound people. And the only way to get safely into eternity is through Jesus Christ. And they were believing believers. They believed so strongly in the reality of human sin, so strongly in the certainty of divine judgment, so strongly in the sufficiency of Christ's atonement, that they wouldn't bend and they wouldn't budge. They stayed by the stuff. May God help us to believe so firmly. I don't care how many opinion polls tell us we're raving fools. May God help us to believe so firmly in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we won't bend and we won't budge. We'll stay by the stuff. And I think if we do, whenever we're finally received into realms of glory, we might very well be met first by Paul and Barnabas, who'll say to us, way to go. Way to go. You stood by the stuff. You didn't bend. You didn't budge. Way to go. Welcome home. And God's people said, let's bow together for prayer. Father,